your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Our chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield is off tonight. We've got really a fine guest with us this evening. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Laura Presley was a former candidate for the Austin City Council. She has cracked the code of electronic voting corruption in Texas and has filed a historic election contest with evidence of how county election corruption occurs. Dr. Presley's recent legal case currently in the Texas Supreme Court uncloaks the truth about electronic voting in Texas. She's given over 150 nonpartisan presentations across the state on the technical details of how Texas electronic voting machines are not adhering to state laws, how electronic voting corruption is occurring all over Texas, how it occurs, and what is being done about it. With all the election integrity issues being reported across the state, Texans have had enough. We are ready to take back our power at the voting booth, and Dr. Presley discusses how we can ensure honest elections happen in Texas. Dr. Presley is a native Texan, earned her Ph.D. in physical chemistry from UT Austin, and was an engineer and gross margin business manager in the semiconductor industry in Austin for over 17 years. She holds 4 U.S. patents on semiconductor device technology and is the co-author of numerous peer-reviewed scientific articles. Dr. Presley has appeared on many shows, CBS Early Show, Good Morning Austin, Roger Stone's Stone Cold Truth, radio shows, many others, InfoWars, and so forth. She has testified as a citizen's advocate, and this is really important. This lady takes the time to go all the way. She has testified as a citizen advocate to the Texas Senate and House on election and technology issues and has served on the executive committees of several boards in Texas. Welcome, and we feel honored to have you with us this evening, Dr. Laura Presley.
Well, hello. So glad to be here, George. Thank you.
I tell you what, what I'd like to do first, Dr. Presley, is give us sort of an overall timeline of your beginning to run for the City Council of the City of Austin, and then give us a few major milestones in there and where you are today, just as an overall timeline. I think that would be helpful to our listening audience.
Absolutely. You know, I ran for City Council here in Austin, Texas in 2014, and I was in a runoff. And you know, it was very interesting. Austin had just gone to a 10-member city council form of government. We had had an at-large system for about 40 years, and the people in Austin were really sick and tired of all the increase in taxes, the public-private partnerships. It's just over the top. The money of the people was just going to developers and companies and all of this, and we were not happy about it. And it was really a cross-partisan push to go to this 10-member district so that, you know, a council member had to live in their district, you had to see them at the grocery store, you know, in your area. And so we thought that would be a lot more representative. So, okay, so I ran in that bunch of candidates that ran in that, you know, first 10-council, 10-member district scenario. And it was amazing. The I'm pretty conservative, and it was just incredible. My district in Austin is a very economically challenged area. And I'll tell you one thing, George. I grew up poor as a child, and I was a single mother for many, many years, you know, over 10 years. I have been homeless. I know what it's like to not have a lot of money and to be poor. And my district is one of the most economically challenged areas in the city. Our median family income is about $35,000. Okay, so that's, just imagine that area. We're high crime, and I'll tell you one thing: if you Google prostitution in my district, you're going to get my neighborhood. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I know it. So it's an area. So it's an area where there's a lot of crime.
Now, in that district four, tell me the boundaries of it, basically. In Austin.
Yeah, we start out at kind of Breaker Lane on I-35 and go south to about. Gosh, it's about 51st Street. Now I'm going to give you ballpark 51st Street.
Okay.
So then the east boundary is Dessau Lane, and then the west boundary is like 183 as it goes north. So that's kind of the boundary.
Okay.
And we are really economically challenged. And I'll tell you one thing: we have a lot of guns in this area because the police just don't get here soon enough. Okay.
Right.
So it's a conservative area. And right. Everybody thinks Austin is massively liberal. Well, that's a bunch of yahoo, okay? It's not the truth.
Right.
And especially district by district across the city. So this area is very conservative, and there's a lot of churches. We're about 28, let me think about it. It's about 28 square miles.
Okay.
And my district is very compact, very dense. And we have about 50 churches in our district, okay?
Okay.
So we're a God-fearing district. We're a gun-carrying district. We've got high crime. We're conservative. And the Democrats moved in, the most liberal of liberal that you can imagine, into this place and expected him to win. He was 24 years old, had one job prior. He was a lobbyist down at City Hall, and he never had a job prior to his little lobbyist job. And moved him in, and we had found 2 years prior to him, well, he had just gotten out of college, okay, 2 years.
Okay.
He had written a paper in college that he was an atheist, okay?
Okay.
And we made sure every voter knew it in my district because we have 50 churches. They're not going to elect an atheist, 24-year-old kid. They moved in 2 weeks before the deadline, and there's no way this kid was winning. And the campaign we ran was professional. We had block walking, phone banking, massive mailers. I was on the radio. It was just fabulous campaign. I was winning. The polls showed it. And my gosh, on election night, somehow he beat me 2-1.
It should have been even closer than that if it was a legitimate race.
They were a little greedy with the steal, okay?
I can see that now. Yeah.
Yeah, a little greedy. So, you know, if it had been close, I might not have had so much confidence of that we won, even though the polls showed it. Okay, the polls showed we were winning, all the phone banking showing we were winning, and there was no way. There was no way. So I knew it was wrong. I knew it. And I thought, well, something's just wrong here. So I get up the next morning after the report of 2-1, and I start reading the election code in Texas. And I'm, you know, my background is engineering. I have a PhD in chemistry and physics. You know, I'm an educated country girl. Educated Texas girl, let me tell you that. My dad was a cattle auctioneer at the stockyards in Fort Worth when I was growing up.
Okay.
And so we had a dairy, and so I'm just a farm girl. Okay?
Right,
and,
okay.
But I was taught to tell the truth, and I was taught to stand up for what's right, and that has carried with me through my whole life. So I got up the next morning, and I knew it was wrong. I knew the results.
You just had a gut feeling, didn't you?
Huh? I knew it. You just know something. You know,
well, the 2-1 gave you an obvious problem with it right there. See?
Absolutely. It was ridiculous. So I read the election code from top to bottom. It's 200 chapters, more than that, okay? And I was looking for one thing, George. I was looking for what are the backup records for electronic voting in Texas because something just happened. We got to figure it out. It's easy. Let's figure this out, right? So I read the code. And my gosh, there's multiple backup, paper backup records that have to be there for electronic voting. You have to have a paper results tape. You know, when polls close on election night, election judges shut the equipment down and they push a button that says print a tally tape so that all the candidates that were running in that location, at that precinct, every candidate's name and the number of votes they got is printed out on this tape, and it's required by the election code. Election code 66.022, and I can give you the number, 66.022, says you have to have the precinct returns before the polls, before the equipment leaves the building. And judges have to sign this. And if you don't do it, judge, you're committing a misdemeanor. It's a criminal violation. When you're an election judge, it's important what you're doing. Okay, it's very important.
Well, you know, you said you made some very, very high-minded statements about setting this record straight and liberty and fair elections, and I believe you and what you're doing here. I really believe in what you're doing, Laura.
Thank you. Bless you. Well, it's the truth, and we're on the side of truth. And when you're on the side of truth, you get a lot of help. I tell you from above and on the ground.
That's what's so really, you know, disappointing in this sometimes, is where you stand up against the system, and the system is a big machine, and they start fining you and coming against you and trying to eat your lunch. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. So first of all, you got to have this tape. You got to have this. And guess what? My heavens, the county clerk here in Austin in Travis County told the judges, don't print the tape. Don't print the backup record for this election. We were in shock, okay? They gave instructions to every election judge in every precinct to not print that backup paper record required by law. All right? Now,
okay.
that should just make people's heads spin. And that's going on all over Texas. The Secretary of State's office is telling counties, oh, that tape just takes too long to print. You got to get home, judges, because you've been there all day. So just don't worry about printing that tape.
Right.
It's okay. We're going to give you a waiver to law.
Right.
That should make your head spin again, because a bureaucrat down in the Secretary of State's office here in Austin is telling counties all over Texas, don't worry, don't print the tape. You got to be kidding me. So that's one of the things we brought up in our lawsuit. You cannot do that. A bureaucrat cannot waive a mandatory law that has a criminal penalty associated with it if you don't do it.
Right.
You can't do it. Okay, it's an important law. There are some laws that are more important than others. In my mind, they're all equal. But in the court's view, if there's a criminal penalty for not doing something, that's a lot higher standard.
Right.
Okay, for people to do it. Okay? All right.
Okay.
So that was the first thing we found. Now, and that's going on all over the state. The second thing we found is that these electronic voting machines are supposed to number a ballot so that you can track and trace them, so that in case you have extra ones when you do a recount, or there's some missing, or you have duplicates. And so what we found is the Secretary of State, again, is certifying electronic voting equipment across the state that does not do a numbering of the ballot. This has been going on for 16 years since electronic voting has hit the scene in Texas back in 2000. They're violating the state constitution and the election code and actually federal standards of electronic voting that's been out there since, oh gosh, in the 2000s. And so we found that. And it's like, and so we did a recount, and guess what? The paper ballots that existed for our race, which are just the absentee ballots, because, you know, people over 65 and disabled people and people who are not in the county, when the vote happens, they can do an absentee ballot.
Sure,
mail-in ballot.
Sure.
So guess what? Those results were exactly tied, 240 to 240.
Really?
It was not 2-1, all right? The 2-1 only came into play with the electronic ballot.
Right.
Way big discrepancy. 17% discrepancy. You don't get that. Okay? We knew when we saw that, we knew we had proof of fraud. So we filed the lawsuit, and the little things they recounted didn't have numbers on them, so who the heck knows where this came from? Where in the heck did this stuff come from that you recounted? It doesn't meet state law. Where is this? It's not legal. You can't do this. The only legal ballots are those mail-in ballots, which had a serial number and could be tracked and traced.
Right.
Okay? So that was the whole basis of our lawsuit. And so we've been in the courts almost 2 years now, and we have not backed down. We have been threatened and tried to get us to go away by telling us they would not sanction us, which is a financial penalty for bringing this case and appealing. They sanctioned me $100,000, $50,000 for my lawyer, another $40,000 to me personally, which I'm the first candidate in the state of Texas in the last 150 years that has ever been sanctioned for bringing an election contest and bringing these issues, okay? So I'm the first candidate in the whole state of Texas that an appeals court has upheld sanctions because I filed an election contest they didn't like.
So they tried to kill you off with money, didn't they?
Try to do me off with money.
Yeah.
And we said, no, we're going to move forward. Someone has got to bring this case and go to the nth degree, to the Texas Supreme Court, because this is happening all over the state. There's no backup tapes to prove what the vote was. There's no legal ballot that they're recounting to prove what the vote was. Okay? This
right.
has gone on for the last 15 years, and somebody's got to take this forward, and we decided to do it. And I've been all over the state talking about these issues, and it's just a godsend. This case has been, you know, it's a big challenge. You know, I had a friend in Houston a long time ago told me that, you know, when opportunity knocks, it's wearing overalls and looks like work.
Right.
And that's what this has been.
Yeah, it's an opportunity.
It's an opportunity, and it's a lot of work.
It's an experience, too. It's not a good experience, but it's an experience, right?
It sure is. And someone, you know, I think the dear Lord put it in my lap because he knew I wasn't going to walk away.
I think so, too, Laura. You're a get-up-and-go lady, and you're an honest and very forthright person. But they went ahead and seated the city council member based on the vote.
They did.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
Based on the illegal recount and the illegal ballots and the no evidence of how he really won. Okay, because really what we wanted the county to acknowledge, hey, the only legal ballots are these mail-in ballots.
Right.
And they're tied. So we need another election. And if the machines can't keep what is required by law, then I want a new election with a paper ballot that you can track and trace and that's legal. Well, that just blew their mind, right? So they dug their heels in. My opponent ended up with 10 lawyers. We had one at different stages, you know, one for the trial, one for the sanction hearing, and then one for the appeal. And
right.
And now in the Supreme Court, I'm writing all this stuff myself pro se.
Sure.
And, you know, and I understand it very well, these issues now. You know, it's been my life for 2 years. So, you know, and I've been all over the state. Our case right now, that we're about $300,000 right now in this case.
Right.
My husband and I have put in about $50,000 of our own savings, a little more than that, $50,000 of our own savings into it. And we have raised $250,000 around Texas in the last 2 years because the people are sick and tired of this electronic voting. They've known there's been something wrong, and now we have proof of it.
Right.
And we're done. Right. We're done with it. We've had enough. We want a paper backup for the new systems that are being purchased right now in the state because this equipment's 15, 17 years old. We're ready for new equipment, and we want a paper backup. We're done with this all-electronic sleight of hand. We're done with it.
Right.
We want an election system that has integrity. And
well,
what we
some
have
people
right
are maintaining we should go back to the old system of all paper ballots, period.
Well, here's what's interesting.
Okay.
I think, you know, we've had a lot of positive results from this case already.
Sure.
And I'll tell you what, one of the vendors who has an electronic voting system, they have developed what's called a hybrid voting system where you put a piece of paper in the machine, you make a bunch of choices, and it prints it out on this piece of paper, a thermal piece of paper, like a card, and it puts your choices, and you look at that, and you go, yeah, that's who I voted for. And it actually has a number at the bottom that you can record and say, my number is, let's say, number 452. And I know I voted very conservative, and I know all these candidates. This is who I voted. And 452 ballot has got my vote on it. And you put it into the machine. It tabulates it electronically, but you've got that paper backup if you do a recount. And guess what? You know what your number is, and you know what your choices were.
Right.
So in a recount, let's say, you know, we did a recount. So the recount, you go back, and you say, and you can take you can make copies of all these recount documents, right? And so you can go back and say, oh, let me look at 452. Well, there's number 452. Guess what? My vote is not on there. You have now proof of fraud.
Okay.
Or you can say 452 has my votes on it, and check, we're good. So that number is the bottom line. I say it's the holy grail of election integrity because, and it came into play in the Constitution. The Constitution has required the state Constitution, Texas Constitution, God bless the legislature, put in there, we have to number a ballot. And that came into play, George, in 1891.
Oh, my God.
In 1800s.
They had it down then, didn't
we
they?
We did. Fraud's been going on a long time in Texas.
Right.
Okay? We knew that the very beginning to make sure elections are honest is that you have to number a ballot and keep track and trace, and people know their number and what they chose, so it can be checked.
Well, the thing is someone like yourself can fight, you know, the results, and that's good. But there are a lot of ballots, I mean, elections that are not even questioned, right? Where they're,
that's right.
You know, so, you know.
Well, candidates have, you're right, and candidates have known this for a long time. There's issues. And they knew they were not getting real recounts. They knew that stuff wasn't being recorded in those tapes. They were being waived and they're not being done. But they didn't know what to do about it. And I'll tell you another thing. Candidates get easily scared because they're going to call you all kinds of names. You're a troublemaker. You're just, you know, sore loser.
You're just trying to get money out of this thing and all that.
You're just trying to get money.
Yeah.
You know? And I got all of that, you know, and we just kept moving. And I just said, I'm going to file that in the back. My ego is not affected. I've got work
That's
to
what,
do.
Yeah, set forward. That ego aside and keep fighting. That's what you have to do.
You got it. We got work to do.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You can take a back seat. Okay, ego, you can just take a back seat. And so we've been, you know, we're down this path. We're in the Supreme Court right now, the Texas Supreme Court. And they have moved our case to the next step. So, you know, what they did when they sanctioned me, they sanctioned us $100,000 and more, you know, another $25,000 we got. We're at $130,000.
When do you have to pay? Do you have to pay that now or when?
We're appealing all that.
That's in the appeal, right? Okay.
It is. And we're the first candidate in the whole state that this ever happened to. So, that, you know, they're setting precedent right now by doing what they did. And the Supreme Court's not going to hold that. They're not going to keep that going because that totally, we've now, if that holds and that stays as precedence and law, you might as well kiss elections goodbye in this state. And they know it, okay?
What they did, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so the Supreme Court, we know, is going to remove those sanctions. And so what they've done is they've moved us to the next level. They've demanded our opponent, our little candidate, the 24-year-old guy that, you know, the atheist, you know, who ran and somehow beat me 2-1, which we know is not true. So he has now, with all his legal team, they have to respond to our petition for review to the Supreme Court and say, why should the court not take this case? Because, and they're having to do that now, and they are, you know, they told us that our case was frivolous. Well, I'll tell you one thing. The Supreme Court does not ask for your opponent to do a response if you got a frivolous case. Okay, so
right.
we are so grateful to the Texas Supreme Court because they have validated what we've said now all along.
Now, are they going to sit and besides review, they're going to make a decision on this case, right?
Well, that's in a later stage right now.
Oh, okay,
now.
Right
all
now.
All,
okay.
Right now. And, you know, the Supreme Court stuff is very particular.
Sure.
It's got very
okay.
critical stages in it. But we've passed the first one.
Okay.
We've passed the first step, and we're on our way. And we're so grateful, and I want people to pray for us that, you know, honest and fair elections are going to happen in Texas, and the court, you know, rules on the side of justice and truth. We ask for prayers, and you know, and it's just been a real. We're just very fortunate that, you know, going around the state, people have donated to us and helped us move this forward because they want it moved forward. They don't want someone to give up. They want someone to keep moving this. Candidates have done this and have had these issues in the past, and they just got. They got caught up in that fear. They got caught up in that ego. You know, I don't want to be called a sore loser because I want to run again later. And my attitude is, if we don't address this now, why would anybody run? Because it's all stolen.
Right. There's no integrity to the vote. I mean, you know, the voters being cheated out of their vote. Yeah.
That's right. So why would I run again? They're like, oh, Laura, just run again. No, because it's being stolen.
Right.
Why would I do that? And why would I go block walk and ask volunteers to help me and ask for donations when I know it's just going to be stolen at the last couple of hours of the on election night? You know, I can do all that work.
Yeah.
But what is it good at? What good is it? So we have to address this.
Sure.
We have to get honest elections. We have to get the backup records required by law, required by our state constitution. Very simple.
Right.
This is not hard.
Deborah Medina in 2008. Questioned the non-seating of some Ron Paul delegates at the state convention in which I attended. She filed a suit against the Republican Party and wound up where they put $20,000 or $30,000 sanctions on her or whatever, or judgment or something. Mm-hmm. She had to get out of it by appealing it, and they took it off. But when you go against the system, they start trying to punish you on the money side.
They do, and they want you to go away.
Yeah,
they want to
deal
with you. Yes, and they told us if we would not appeal, they would not sanction us. Okay, that's what they told us in the courtroom. And we said, okay, I perceive that as, you know, a bribe almost. And we're moving forward because someone's got to do this. This is not just about a city council race in Austin, Texas now. We are talking about an issue that is, and I didn't know this when we filed this lawsuit. We thought just Travis County was messing up. It is many counties around the state.
Right.
Okay, I can count 20 to 30 counties that they're not printing tapes. They don't, and no one in the state has a numbered ballot for electronic voting. Nobody. Not one county. 200 counties in Texas have this electronic voting system with no number.
My God.
They can do whatever they want, George. They can move ballots in and out.
Right. Well,
they don't care.
Yeah. Charlotte and I, we not only interviewed Vicki Karp and her co-author of their book, but after that, a year or so later, we interviewed a man that actually rewrote some of the code and fixed a U.S. Representative race in Florida. Okay.
Yes, that's right.
Then I recently interviewed Cynthia McKinney and her experience on her last race in the U.S. Congress in Georgia was that she filed a lawsuit. The court decided on the evidence and the testimony of an electronic expert in that had looked at the situation and all the electronic results.
Right, right.
I mean, that gets crazy, you know?
That's right. And so here's the question. Here's what I want you and your listeners to think about across Texas. Here's the deal. You can steal an election with a computer if you don't have the backup records, right?
Yes.
Because if you've got backup records, man, someone's going to catch you, right?
Right, right.
Someone's going to catch you. So, okay, so we know that. So, but the question is, how are they stealing it? So let's talk about that. So we got evidence in our case.
Yes, yes, okay.
Let's go that next step.
Okay, how are they doing it? Yeah, let's talk about that, Laura.
Yes, and a lot of people have had, you know, their gut, their intuition. They have not trusted these electronic voting machines, okay? So let's talk about how it's happening in Travis County and in other counties we have found, too, in Texas.
Okay.
So everybody says it's the Russians. Right.
Well, you don't. It was. I saw them. They were hiding behind
Russians
those trees. Hey, they were hiding behind the trees outside the election.
That's right. So I'll tell you, the Russians had nothing to do with my city council.
Right.
Someone say that. Nothing to do with that little runoff. Okay.
You don't You don't drink, and you don't drink vodka, huh?
No, I don't. I don't actually. I don't drink at all.
Okay.
I don't.
That's good.
So yeah, it's not the Russians that my little city council.
Okay, we've eliminated that, right? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so how's it being done?
Okay.
Well, here's what happens. These computers, let's say you're an election judge at a precinct, okay, and you've got an electronic machine, and people come and vote, and those votes go on to what's called a memory card at the main little, it's called a judge's booth controller at the precinct level where people come vote, right? So you vote on the little machine. That vote electronically goes onto a memory card at the precinct. Well, guess what? All of those memory cards from the precincts converge to one computer at the main county office. They all get sent when the polls close.
Okay.
Those memory cards get sent to the county office and go to a main computer, one main computer, where they all come together and merge and get tabulated one by one by one in a little port, and they put the card in that port. And they download the results, okay? So if you want to steal an election, George, you don't want to beat the precinct because that's where election judges are and that's where poll watchers are.
Right.
You want to steal an election. You want to be at the main computer where no one's watching.
Right, right, where the counting room is or something they call it like that. Yeah.
That's right. And there's one per county.
Yeah.
Every county's got one. Mm. And so that's where we found the corruption was occurring.
That's it.
So in our lawsuit, we got what's called the audit log. It's a time date stamp of every activity at that main computer at the county. And what we saw was the first memory card that got put in showed a corruption error. And we went back and did some history of that single memory card in our lawsuit. where was that memory card this whole time in that election, right? Well, we found that card looked like it had been missing for 19 days at the county.
Really?
Yes. Who had that card for 19 days? Was it taken offline and taken out of the building and someone programmed it and brought it back in and inserted it in the computer as the first one in? Because what you want to do, you want to download a program, George, that sets the whole computer up to flip the vote.
Right.
Okay? To change the vote. And so that's what we saw. And that card had been missing for 19 days. There's a question about where that card was, what it was doing for 19 days. And it was corrupted. And what we have seen, so this is what we think happened. And when we asked the judge, we want to get to that memory card.
So when you say corrupted, it wasn't readable then, what you're saying?
We don't know what the word corrupted really means.
Okay.
What it looks like, and we got some manuals about, you know, from the vendor about what this corruption error looks like. Because some software engineer had a program that it was a corrupt error, right? I mean, it shows up on the screen as a corruption error. Somebody's got a program that card's not good, okay?
Right.
So we asked the judge, can we get to that card? And that's when we got in big trouble with the judge. The judge said, no, you can't get to that card to prove your case. Because we think once we have that memory card, we had a software expert that would be able to go into the code and identify what was causing that to be corrupt. Because basically the main computer said, I don't recognize this card. Where's this card from? This is not doing the encryption handshake that it needs to be doing to say it's good. It's okay. It was an errant card. It came from somewhere else. And so the judge said, no, you can't get that card. And by the way, Ms. Presley, you don't have any evidence. We're going to throw you out of court with a frivolous lawsuit.
My gosh.
And we're like, oh my gosh, exactly. So the judge denied us getting evidence and said we didn't have any. You can't do that in Texas. So that's when we filed
our
lawsuit.
So that's a good appeal, a point on the appeal right there.
It is. Yeah. It is. And you know, but that really is a minor thing. We had more evidence that said there was.
Well, didn't your appeal consist of over 200 pages? Is that right?
Absolutely. We had all this evidence, and, you know, we had them instructing judges not to print the tape. There was no number on the stuff they counted. It was not legal, not constitutional, and the paper ballots were tied. We should have had a new election. That's just the simple thing that should have happened.
Right.
And they wouldn't let us get to the card, because I'll tell you one thing. I think that card had a program on it that flipped the vote 2-1. That's what I think. And based on, you know, the evidence that we saw and the mathematical patterns, it looked like they were programming it by precinct. They had a target number for each precinct, and that's where the 2-1 came in. So anyway, you know, that. So a lot of people ask, how do they do it? You know, yeah, you can steal an election with a computer as long as you don't have those backup records. Well, check that. There's no backup records, right?
Right.
And
right.
Now we have the corruption error on the computer. And so what we've done now is I have trained up like 18 different counties around the state, and we've watched, are these corruption errors common? And the answer is yes. Houston has had corruption errors. Travis County, the county I'm in, the technician told us, they get corruption errors at least twice an election. We've seen corruption errors in Llano County. We've seen it in Burnett County, which are small counties, and we've seen some issues with memory cards in Collin County, which is up in Dallas.
Okay.
Okay, so this is going on all over the state. And with no backup records, and you've got memory card issues at the main computer, that's the recipe for stealing elections.
Yeah, they have been hiring, as I understand it, Secretary of State's throughout the country, have been hiring outside computer companies to do their counting on the state level. And that's where they can reprogram those votes, see?
That's right.
But
that's right. And if you don't have the backup records, George, you can do whatever you want.
Now, there's something about either rounding off errors and stuff like that on the state level where they've started catching them, okay? And my memory's faulty right now on that point. But there's something about this. Statistically, they were rounding off the votes and our percentage of 79.5 or something like that. And in doing that, it opened up the possibilities of statistically impossibilities, I believe. See what I mean? But yeah, but that's on another discussion, that not tonight, you know. But there's cheating going on a lot of different levels, either the state county room or your local, you know, city county room or wherever, you know.
I want you to think about this. Think about paper ballots,
right?
Okay, because we think about fraud's been going on a long time. You know, in the 1800s, when they wanted to number a ballot, they didn't have computers, and they were doing paper ballot fraud left and right. Okay, they were. Okay, our brethren are not the most honest when it comes to elections, George. I hate to say that, but it's just a fact. It's a fact. It's the truth. Okay.
Okay.
So think about how many people it would take to change 100,000 ballots, paper ballots. How many people does that take?
Right. A lot of people.
A lot of people,
right.
And they all like to talk, don't they? They're all yapping, right, and letting the word out.
Right.
But imagine, how many people does it take to change 100,000 ballots in an electronic voting computer?
At the speed of light, yeah.
Speed of light. It may take one person
right.
to write the program,
right.
and maybe someone inside to make sure it gets in.
Well,
two people, George.
The guy we interviewed out in Florida, he put the program in, you know, from outside, and then took
That's
it
right.
back out. The program used to manipulate the final results was in the computer, counting computer, and then it was taken back out by him where nobody could see.
That's right.
I mean,
so just imagine,
yeah.
as a candidate, I would much rather deal with paper ballot fraud.
Yeah, sure.
Than computer, because it takes so few people to do it.
Well, those small races, or, you know, where there's not hundreds of thousands of votes or too many, you can probably do some of this on small elections, you know, small areas.
Well, they can do it in the big ones,
That's
too.
Right, that's right. Well, they can. We ought to go
it
back to...
It doesn't matter. That's the point.
I'm for paper ballots, period. You know, that's what Charlotte Littlefield and I do think, you know, after talking
to
all these people.
And that's exactly. So now let's...
Yeah.
So now we know it's being done in Texas.
Right.
We know how it's being done. So now what's the answer? Okay, so here's, you know, I don't like to just complain about stuff and not have a solution, because I'm an engineer and we like to have solutions.
Yeah,
so,
y'all make things happen and work, right?
We make things happen.
and the things work because of the engineers.
Pity, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So here's the solution. Okay, right now, these vendors in Texas that are selling this equipment, they're a little worried about our Supreme Court case. Okay? Because it shows that they are not meeting state law. And so one of the vendors has decided to step up, and they have a paper ballot hybrid system that has a number, and they just put the numbering thing on a couple of months ago. Okay? I'm telling you. So this is just hot off the press.
Okay.
So ES&S has what's called the Express Vote system, that is a paper system that you use for a recount, and they just decided to number it. Okay, check.
Oh, that's nice,
that.
Isn't
paper
it?
Is
yeah, that's nice.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And so these guys are trying to sell this you know, system around the state, and it's a good system. The other vendor has dug their heels in, not done a paper backup, and not number anything. Okay, so there you go. So we at least have some progress that there's one vendor. And counties today, going forward for the next 15 years, they're looking at buying new equipment. And so the ES&S Express Vote system is a good, you know, I'll support anybody with a paper ballot that has a number, okay, because that meets state law. And that's your first level of defense on, you know, election integrity.
Right.
And so what we're telling people, you know, you've got Republican executive committee members, you know, that are, you know, part of their precinct chairs, you know, in counties across the state. You've got Democrat precinct chairs. You know, they can ask this company, ES&S, to come in and bring the system. Let's take a look at it, and let's make a recommendation to our county commissioners that we want this system. And so that's happening today. Counties all over the state are inviting this company to come and demonstrate their election system. And they're making recommendations to county courts that, hey, you know, when you're ready to buy equipment, I want you really to look at this one.
Right.
So that's what we can do now. And any of your listeners who are precinct chairs are on their executive committee, either Democrat Party or Republican Party, or they're a Libertarian or Green or whatever they are, they can ask these people to come in, show the system. You can, you know, have them come into a church, have invite all your friends, your neighborhood, your precinct, everybody, whatever, put it in the paper, say, hey, we want to look at this system. And then those people put pressure on the commissioner's court to get an honest system in that county. And that's how you do it.
Are you getting a pretty warm reception on some of your speeches and presentations?
Oh, it's amazing. Yes. And we just do, you know, I do presentations all over the state, and I'll come anywhere anybody invites me, you know, as long as you got five people or more.
Right. Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And that's all it takes. And so my contact information, you know, is on our website. It's and my website is presleyforaustin.com, presleyforaustin.com, and my contact information's on there. Call me, contact me, you can call me on the phone. My number's there, and we can arrange, you know, for me to come out to your meeting or your Tea Party or your Democrat Club or your Republican Club, your Retirees Club, your Optimist Club, your Rotary Club. I go anywhere in the state.
Well, that's wonderful. That's great.
Yeah.
And also, do you have a donation button on there, or are you selling subscriptions for that, or copies of the appeal or something? You know, we need to get people going to your site, making donations or whatever. Also,
that would be great, because I'll tell you, this is expensive. We're not done with it,
right?
And you know,
the costs are endless. Let's face it. You know, always go. You know
what
I mean?
And this. Yes, and so we're not done with this case. We're, you know, the Supreme Court has asked for our opponent to file a response. We're going to file stuff after that, so there's going to be more fees. And even though I'm doing this pro se right now, I'm writing the petition, there's a lot of legal expenses going back and doing all this case law research. And I'll tell you one thing that's really interesting, George. I did a bunch of case law research from 2017 all the way back to the 1800s. And guess what? In the case law of the Supreme Court, they have ruled in the past that a ballot has to have a number.
Oh, good.
So even the Supreme Court themselves in the past have supported what we've said. This is not a frivolous case.
So this is strong for your appeal, then. Very strong.
Oh, it's huge. This is like a no-brainer to the Supreme Court, okay? And then the Supreme Court also has ruled in the past that you have to have these precinct returns before the judges leave the building. Okay? They've even ruled on that.
That's it.
And so I know it. It's incredible. So we just respectfully disagree with the judge and the trial court and the judges and the appeals court. That's why we're asking the Supreme Court to hear the case. They're a very high-level court. They are statewide. They're not subject to just the politics of Travis County. Okay?
Right.
So we are, you know, that's why we've progressed. Well,
this is important for not only the state, but the whole country.
It is. I'll tell you one thing. And there's federal standards, George, that say that you have to have this unique number.
Well, that HAVA law, remember? The HAVA law?
Yes.
See?
Yes.
It establishes certain requirements and so forth. They're supposed to.
That's right.
Here's the point that I wanted to make, I thought about before we started this interview, was we have all of these commissions of this and commissions of that, but the corruption is still so high in the country. You know what I mean? So
yes.
we never had a government with so many regulations and restrictions and all this, but the society has become corrupted. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and you know that's going to happen.
I know. But that goes along with what's happening.
And that's our job.
Yeah. That's because
and that's our job.
That's because at the election, at the poll, you got it translates into that. See what I mean?
Exactly. And if we don't have honest and fair elections in this state,
honest people to run these elections too. And I'm afraid that
you do.
The country's become less honest than it used to be. I don't know.
Well, if you've got. You know,
well, people taking over the control of these are where the corruption is. See what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And if you
yeah.
have a system that's deceiving the people.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
And we're getting mad at each other because, George, you didn't vote right. I know I voted right, but you didn't.
Right. We're all divided.
But
you're right. That's a good
point.
We're
divided.
Yeah.
And so, yes, and so the danger is We blame each other when really there's two people back behind the curtain that are stealing everybody's vote.
The Wizard of Oz, right?
Exactly. And really the people could most likely are voting correctly, but we're being stolen, we're being deceived. And I'll tell you one thing, the dear Lord of this world and this universe is not happy with the deception.
Right.
And they're not he's not happy. And so this is why I think this case is so important for not just Texas, but for the country. It's drawing a line and saying we want honest elections. We've got the system, the laws are there. We just have to follow them, and we have to take personal responsibility to step up and say we want honest elections. We want a number. We want a backup tape. We want the laws followed. And our case just sets it up for everybody else out there to step up.
Right.
George.
Has it become so partisan, though, but been divided between the Democrats and the Republicans? It's become such a partisan battle all the time, you think? And they're,
I think everybody's getting their elections stolen. You've got good Democrats.
Right.
You've got good
Republicans. Yeah, sure.
Okay. And I'll tell you what, the good people are getting their stuff stolen.
Right.
Because they're not part of the system, okay?
Well, the most ambitious people on the psychopathic or sociopathic side go and grab up those powers of centers of influence. See?
Well, and
I mean, we've got to get more people, good people, in there to take office. See?
Well, but I'll tell you what my position,
yeah.
George.
Well, we needed you in the city council is what we needed. See?
Well, you got to fix the election system first. So I'm not going to spend any more of my money, giving any money to any candidate or any party until this gets fixed.
Right.
Okay? Because I'll tell you what, if people did that, if people said, I'm not supporting anybody until this gets fixed.
Right.
And then the incumbent would have to do something. Okay?
You put pressure on them, right?
It would put pressure on them. And my position is this case is the first one on deck to do this. We've given people the methodology of how it's happening. You can go in and you can sit at that main computer in your county. If you've got to follow some rules, you've got to have a candidate appoint you as a poll watcher. You can go in and watch that main computer. And we did this in Collin County, okay?
Okay.
So now we know how the election's being stolen. It's at the main computer with a memory card, all right?
Okay.
So in Collin County, we had a woman who was a poll watcher. She was sitting there watching the main computer, and of course the elections office was real uncomfortable with her being there, but she pulled out the law and said, look, I'm supposed to be here, so leave me alone.
Right.
I'm going to be, okay, I'm going to follow the rules. I'm going to be cordial. I'm not going to disrupt anybody. I'm here to watch. I'm here to watch that main computer. So she was sitting there. The little technician was putting in memory cards, right? He puts in the card, and he goes, that is taking a long time to download that card. It must have a program on it. We're going to pull that card out. And they did. And he did that because she was sitting there.
Oh.
We think we saved the vote in Collin County. Who knew what was going to happen in McKinney, Texas, in Collin County, if that technician had not pulled that card out before it finished downloading?
Right.
Okay? So we can get the new systems that have a paper backup. We can demand that we have a number. We can monitor those main computers when we see shenanigans going on. We have to step up as a people of Texas.
Right.
Okay.
There's some stories that Vicky Karp and the black box voting lady, what's her name? They tell about chasing technicians all over New Hampshire because during the Ron Paul, all that primary up there. Oh, man, I mean, it gets wild sometimes, doesn't it, huh?
It does, but I'll tell you what, we're past that.
Yeah.
We're past knowing that it's, you know, all of that was trying to prove it happened.
Yeah.
We're past that. We're on to the answer.
Right.
We're on to the personal responsibility. Okay. You can wallow in proving it all day long, but if you're not doing something to change it to what you want,
yeah,
you're wasting your effort. Okay?
Right.
So we are now past proving that it's happening. We know it's happening, and we know what to do about it. We want a numbered ballot paper system that we can keep for a recount, and we're going to watch you when you're at the main computer to make sure you're doing the right thing.
Right.
That's what the next step is. We're not sitting back and chasing people around in cars. It's BS, okay? You gotta step up in your own county and take responsibility and take it back.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And so right now you're progressing through the Supreme Court process, and is there any kind of timeline as to when they might look at it, and if they do, when they might be a decision on this?
That's a great question. We don't know. The Supreme Court moves at its own pace.
Right, I'll tell you that.
They really do. We're just grateful they're taking us seriously and taking it to the next level, and you know, we're just going to do whatever it takes to stay on this path. And like you said, it is expensive. We have to do the case law research. We have to get that. You know, that's what's costing us money right now is doing the research, because the research is not free. They've got these online services that they charge for, and only lawyers have access to it. So I have a lawyer who's pulling that stuff for me, and that's the expenses that we have. So if anybody wants to help us with a contribution, we need it, and we would be so grateful for it, because think about what you're doing. You're really, if you can't be down there monitoring your main computer, or if you're not a precinct chair, you know, in your county, you know, you can do something by help us move this forward and give us, you know, get on our distribution list. You know, email me. My email is laurapressley@startmail.com. And that's Laura, L-A-U-R-A, P as in Paul, R-E-S-S-L-E-Y, at startmail.com. And we'll get you on our distribution list. Mm. And you can forward that to your friends and the people that you do know that are precinct chairs. They can step up, and I can help them, and we can take this stuff back in our county.
When somebody suspects that their vote has not been recorded properly, what is the normal procedure? Do you first alert your at the poll that you voted at something, or how do you go about that?
Yeah, I would let the election judges know, and then I would also call your candidate. The candidates that you support,
okay.
You tell them we've got some funny business going
okay.
on, and you need to challenge this election. And then I'm here to help those candidates too. Those candidates that want to challenge, they're not afraid to do the right thing, I'm here to help them.
Right. Now, one of the things that I understand is that if you're at one of these polls and you just voted, can you not request an image, a printout image of your vote?
No, you cannot.
You can't. But
no.
On federal vote elections, is that possible or not?
No, not at all. No, the state law does not allow you to have a picture of your ballot. But what you can do, and that's why we've been so susceptible in the last 15 years.
Okay.
And because you can't do it, there's no accountability, right?
Right. So there's no trail there. There's no audit trail then.
There's no trail. That's why we got to get this new system in. We've got to have people at the main computers, because that's how it's being done.
Right.
Okay, and candidates have to challenge these results, because they've left a lot of loose ends, all right? There's no tapes. There's no numbering ballots. You see, other people can bring these lawsuits, not just me.
Right.
And I'm here to help them if they want to do it.
Yeah, you might look into that shaving of the rounding off problem that occurred in some of the states or something.
And how they do it, George, is what we just said. They do it with a memory card.
Yeah, I'll look into it and get you some email later today or tomorrow or something about it, because it was an interesting statistical thing. See what I mean? It's where it's like you did statistical analysis that helped prove that there was problems, right?
Right.
And
right.
So they're statistically, when you're having a certain body of people, community voting, and that 2-1 was just was obviously wrong.
Yeah, it was a program.
They just, it was a real clear program. They got greedy or something. Something happened.
Oh, I know. Isn't that hilarious? I'm grateful for that, too.
right, because it alerted you to it shouldn't
That's
have been
right.
that wide a variance. Have? We have about 3 or 4 minutes of closing time here on our program. Do you have anything else that you'd like to tell our listening audience about or alert them to?
Well, I just want to show the gratefulness that we have for this opportunity. Even though it's a lot of work, George, it is It has allowed...
How much time have you spent on this, Laura?
Oh, my gosh. For the last 2 years, it's really all I've done. I had a small business.
6 to 10 hours a day on some of this?
Oh, at least, if not more. Sometimes I'm up to 4 in the morning doing some analysis or something. And so this is, you know, there's a lot of things we can do with our lives on this earth. And I believe this is one of the most important things. Like I said, the dear Lord of the universe and of everything out there is not pleased with the deceit. And because what's lost, all right, we've lost the balance of our, you know, our elections are based on the majority rule, okay?
Right.
And if we decide on a candidate and we don't like them, we can vote them out, but not now. You cannot vote these people out because it's being stolen. And so the Lord's not happy with it. And
right.
So I believe that he is happy that we're trying to bring the balance back so that we can, you know, when we make mistakes as human beings, we learn from them.
So it's a sort of a spiritual crusade for you, is it not?
This is a spiritual crusade.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. But you know what? I pray every day and for the Lord's help. And you know what he tells me? Move your feet.
Right.
That's what he tells me. Don't just sit back and let someone else do this. It's us. And so when I ask for help, he says, move your feet. And that's the truth. And I'm telling everybody out there who's listening, move your feet. Either help us with a contribution or call me and I will help you do what needs to be done in your county. If you're a candidate, I'll help you do what you need to do. But personal responsibility has to be taken. We can't just sit back anymore. We're
right.
done with sitting back.
There's also a U.S. Election Assistance Commission, but that would be, I guess, on a federal basis. But I think on any election, it can become a civil rights issue. Is that true?
It's true. And that Federal Election Commission has guidelines. And guess what? Their guidelines say a ballot's got to be numbered. And we're not doing it.
We've
never done it. Okay?
Right. I got you. But, I mean, sometimes I've noticed in some cases where people have been mistreated, they went and converted their actions into some kind of a civil rights action of
That's
violation
right.
of civil rights or something and tried to get some you know, levity yeah. there or whatever, you know what I mean?
That's right.
But anyway, right. and you're okay. Well, I appreciate you coming on the program this evening, and you really went through this well. And explained it to our listening audience. Our listening audience is pretty well educated in some of these issues, but sometimes we're all trying to learn and expand our knowledge and awareness. You know what I mean? And
so
we're all waking up at different states. You know what I mean?
Of
wakefulness. You know what I mean? But
yes.
I want to thank you for all your fine work and your crusade here. It's just marvelous. And thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Well, thank you, George. And I'm just so grateful for all the people that have helped us get where we are. I wouldn't be here without so many people's support and prayers. And it shows the power of prayer. It really does. I'm witness to that. And I'm just grateful.
Well, I'm a believer, too, and I believe that that works. Okay?
That's right.
Thank you, Laura Presley.
Okay. You take care. Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.